You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
He said, and then we went back to his house after work and he said, clean my car. And so I cleaned his car. And when I went inside, he took me around the house and he showed me all the pictures of his son, Dan, who'd passed away. And then he sat me at the table and he'd made a feast. And we had this big afternoon tea. And I thought of the symbolism of that, of him preparing this feast for Abe. His wife texted me, I haven't seen Steve like this since Dan passed away. He's got new purpose in his life. Steve's teaching Abe how to drive. Steve's trying to keep Abe out of trouble. That takes some work, believe me. We're all trying to keep Abe out of trouble. But what a beautiful story. The last story is of Yarrambat and... you know, God gives you incrementally difficult things. So the first time I went into a club, which was some time ago, it was really quite easy compared to the next time, And I thought I'd seen it all. But when I got the call from Yarrambat Football Club, this was such an extreme case. I'm just conscious of children in the room, so I'll just try to say it gently. The president of the club had just taken his own life by his own hand, and that had been to do with a dispute in the football club where one of the coaches and one of the families had been feuding with each other to such an extent and drawing him into this particular thing that at the end the wife said, you choose between the footy club and me, and that's the decision that he made. So I was called to go into the club the next day and meet with the remaining members of the board, of the committee. And I didn't really know what to do. And my boss, Cam, said, do you know anybody else in the northern suburbs there who can go in with you? And I didn't. I said, no, I don't know anybody out there. But I opened up my notebook just as he was speaking, and I always highlight the names of everybody who I've spoken to. And it opened up straight to a page, and it had the name of a minister out there in the northern suburbs who'd rung me about a potential chaplain. And so I rang him and I said what had happened at the club. And I said, can you join me at the club tomorrow night? And can you bring two other guys, pastors in the area, and the four of us will go in and try and help this club out. So we did that. He was willing to drop everything. And we went into the club and we met with the committee and we planned out the rest of the week so that we had people there every single night as each of the junior teams would arrive to do training so that we could run similar debriefs with them to the one that I explained to you out at Bond Beach. So we sat all the kids down and we had all the parents and the discussion and the stories that came out during that week were incredible. You know, kids in circles as we were talking saying, where is he now? And me being able to talk about faith, hope and love and then saying to the parents in that room, at that moment, would you mind it now if I prayed with these boys? And what they appreciated, not resented, was the fact that somebody now would take their kids to that next level where they felt that they needed to be but wouldn't have been able to take them to themselves. And they all nodded furiously, yes, please give us some kind of hope in this and give our kids some kind of hope. And of course, the kids being more innocent and they just prayed and they received that message very graciously that he would have made his peace and been with God, or at least that's our hope. And so at the end of that week, we organised a big dinner. They raised a lot of money for the president's wife. She had been very resentful towards the club, but there'd been so many expressions of love during that week made to her, and on that night made to her, that there was so much reconciliation went on that night, and they committed as a club to pay for the education of that children throughout the rest of their education. And they're holding to that now. They are a marvellous club. And they taught me a lot of things that football clubs sometimes might even do better than we do in terms of the way they did community. But they asked me to speak to the whole community. There was about 400 of them about how to cope after suicide and how to talk with your kids. And I was able to do that. And there was a pastor in the room who I only met on the night. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to pray at the end. Would you just pray while I'm speaking and discern whether I ought to pray to this group at the end? And he did that. And at the end, I felt very strongly that I would pray. So I asked, would you mind if I prayed for you now as a community? And a guy at the back said, well, it couldn't hurt. And and that was so Aussie, wasn't it? So And that gave me permission to pray. And that opened up all sorts of conversations afterwards. And they had a welfare officer, and he came up at the end and he said, "You make an ex-believer want to believe again." They gave quite a bit of money to SCA. That's the way footy clubs work. But it was just a wonderful thing. And, of course, the Northern Footy League, that was a part of the Northern Footy League. That's opened the doors now for them to want chaplains in their league. So that's the end of my stories. And now I'll quickly get onto my message. And I'm glad you gave me plenty of time, Graham. And then we're going to introduce our chaplains to you. You know, when I signed up for this, I wasn't expecting all of this, but as I said, by degree, and the training that I received at Oxley was just fantastic. When I arrived at Oxley, I didn't know how to be a school chaplain, and you kind of learnt on the job, and you took risks, and you asked for God's leading, and you learnt from what you did wrong, and tried not to do it again the next time. And all of that was a stepping stone towards being able to go to this particular state of doing what I'm doing now. But it's interesting because I'm allowed to work within my strengths. And I want to talk about that just briefly because, to be quite honest, I don't have many strengths. And I don't just say that to be kind of self-deprecating or humble. I actually don't. I'm one of the least competent people in the world at most things. Ask my wife. Ask Mike Odd. He comes around and fixes up all my mistakes in my house. I can't fix anything. I can't actually even make soup. I tried to make soup during the week. Had to throw the whole lot. I mean, all it was a whole lot of vegetables and some water, but I put a few spices in and gross, it was horrible. And I'm not a businessman. Yesterday, we had a barbecue at Croydon Centro to raise money for Sports Chaplaincy Australia. Guess how much I made? 6 hours work, six people working, minus $1.77. I bought 240 cans of drink and sold 8. If anyone wants a can of drink, I've got them in my car. And I'll sell them at cost. Nick's going to buy some for the youth group. Praise you, Nick. And that's not even referring back to the toilet story. Remember when I told you the toilet story? For those who remember, that was just one of many. Oh, but it's good that God leads you into places where you can work in your area of strength. Because imagine if I was trying to minister about God through building skills or being a businessman or something, because I wouldn't have much of a testimony. And sausage sizzles. It's important to serve for many reasons, not just because it pleases God, but it makes us feel very satisfied and happy, particularly if we can be serving in our area of strength. And I think when God talks about having these plans to prosper you and life to the full, he's talking about finding that intersection where you're serving in your giftings and in your strength and feeling totally fulfilled that you're doing what it is that God's equipped you to do in the place that he's led you to be in. And that's what I'm discovering now. But not just for me, but for the chaplains that we're placing, we're finding that they're almost becoming reborn as Christians, many of them. In some cases, they might be people who've been sitting in church for a long time and they've never wanted to lead Sunday school, or they might have, or the choir, but when they hear about sports chaplaincy, they go, "Wow, you mean I could stand on an oval with a pie in one hand and talk to a guy while I watch footy and say to my wife, I'm out to do ministry this afternoon?" It's very appealing. And, you know, It's all tied up in, you know, the whole positive psychology thing, which is very big at the moment. And we've got all these coaches, the old school coaches, Ron Barassi and these guys. They used to just pick on the weaknesses and they used to yell and carry on. And they'd make guys get to a place where they weren't operating well because they were so panicked. And the new modern age coach, the Paul Roos types, they realise that you've got to find the strengths of each player and capitalise on those strengths. And then when there's a problem, say, "Well, look, here's your strengths, A, B and C. Now, here's what you're doing wrong. Bring your strength into that and we believe that you can do it." And the guys kind of rise to that, and the old-fashioned coaches getting phased out who just ranted and raved in a negative way. We can learn from that too. Find your strengths and bring them to bear into your life as often as you can. Pay for someone to do your garden and get paid to do something. No, that's just what my thinking is. That scripture said, "Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Just quickly, what are the spiritual gifts? I'm not going to give you a whole thing. Imagine Pastor Oxley speaking on spiritual gifts and getting through it in 1 minute flat. You wouldn't do that. But I'm going to just do it really quickly, and then you can do it in much more detail on another occasion. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, we find nine gifts. Yep. In Ephesians 4 to 11, we find five gifts. And in Romans 12, 3 to 8, we find seven gifts. So that's where all the spiritual gifts are listed, which is a total of 18 different gifts plus speaking in tongues. Now let's look at the next slides really quickly. Beautiful. The Bible says that every believer has at least one spiritual gift. So you've got one and probably more. And nobody's got all of them. Next slide. So here they are. We'll just look at them really quickly. So administration, organising people. Apostleship, I think that's what sports chaplaincy is. Adapting to a different culture to share the gospel or do ministry. I never thought of it as that. Oh, I have the gift of apostleship. That's nice. Discernment, distinguishing spiritual truth from error or heresy. Probably all Christians ought to have a little bit of that. Evangelism, sharing the gospel effectively and passionately. Exhortation, encouraging others as they follow Jesus. I love encouragers, and that's their gift. Faith, seeing God's plan and following it with passion. Giving, investing with unusual sacrifice and joy in God's kingdom. Don't forget Sports Chaplaincy Australia, you guys. Healing, being used by the Spirit to bring physical or emotional health. We've been hearing about that recently. Intercession, praying with unusual passion and effectiveness. So interceding, we need them praying for us. I'm meeting some fantastic prayers. They're gathering people around them. We've got a whole cluster of churches in Ringwood gathering together to pray for Sports Chaplaincy Australia. How good's that? It is unreal. Knowledge, discerning and sharing the deep truths of God's word and will. Leadership, motivating and inspiring others to serve Jesus fully. Mercy, showing God's grace and hurting people with unusual passion. All chaplains need that one. Just that, not to get out there and judge. Don't do this. Don't drink so hard. Don't swear. No, that, you know, you might say something about that in time to come, but that's after you've shown grace and mercy and love in spades beforehand. Miracles, being used by the Spirit to effect supernatural change. Prophecy, proclaiming the word of God with personal passion and effectiveness. Serving, meeting practical needs with unusual sacrifice and joy. Shepherding, helping others to grow spiritually. Chaplains do that. Teaching, explaining God's word and truth with unusual effectiveness. And wisdom, relating biblical truth to practical life with great effectiveness. And chaplains do that as well. When we identify our spiritual gifts and strengths and intersect these with the opportunities that God provides us in our community, we get to serve with great passion and joy. When we serve in our area of gifting, it fills our batteries rather than empties them. One of the greatest joys I've had this year is meeting other people who love to become sports chaplains or to support the work of sports chaplaincy. And we're just growing this exciting, energetic group of people. And we have been meeting at Balsamic once a month. And we got too big for there. We got up to about 25 people coming along. So now we're going to the Ringwood Church of Christ, and all their people, they make us food and they come and serve us, and everybody gathers, and it's fantastic. And four of that team actually come out of this church. And so I want them to come up onto the stage now and for you to welcome Rich, Stu, Marie and Josh. Come on up. What a team. Chernside Park, Chernside Park, Chernside Park, North Ringwood. Premiership Division 2 chaplain. New to our church, this is Stuart Rook. You know these three guys. You know Rich, you know Josh, you know Marie. Senior chaplain at Chernside. Did it all last season and they love him. Chernside Park Footy Club is our footy club. We love Chernside Park. Repeat after me. We love Chernside Park because we say to them, you don't just get a chaplain, you get a church. And if ever we want to go and watch local footy, go and watch Chernside. They need all the support they can get, don't they, Rich? So, Rich, just tell us a little bit about, firstly, why you wanted to be a sports chaplain. We'll keep all our answers brief like we always do.
I think that the point you raised before, Dave, about the intersection of faith and passion was the real key at the start. And the same thing about, you know, having the pie and doing ministry on a weekend, which really worked for me. So it was really using both those passions and, you know, and making a difference where I could.
Tell us about your first season. Actually, tell us about that night when we first arrived at the club. That was funny.
Yeah, well, we first arrived there and we were a bit nervous, and Dave rocks up and we're there and waiting, and then the president just yells out, "All right, boys, they're all ready for you." And we're sort of waiting for the president to come in and, you know, introduce us. And then suddenly there were 40 sweaty blokes sitting in the change room just looking at them, waiting. And sort of Dave's like, okay, no president. I'll just chat away. So we started chatting away. And then I think it was probably funnier than that, what I explained. But I remember I did make one boo-boo. I remember saying to Dave beforehand, he said, "Look, just say stuff like, you know, we'll discuss what we're going to say, and say, you know, you want them to be successful not only on the field but off the field." And so when I was talking and had all these eyes at me, you start to get a bit blurry, and I went, "Oh, gee, I'm losing it here," as I was talking. And I said something like, "Yeah, look, I really want you guys to blossom." And I thought, did I just say blossom? I'm thinking, there's 40 sweaty blokes looking at me going, "Blossom?" I'm going, "What the?"
Oh, that was so funny. That was the hardest club that we did, because all the other clubs, the presidents introduced us and there was a meal. This one, it was a wet night and we were in these stinky change rooms, all these guys in a state of semi-undress and no one else there. And, "Okay, boys, bring it in. This is your new chaplain." Chaplain, what's a chaplain? But they love you, Rich. They really love you. So just tell me, really briefly, tell everybody how the season's gone.
Well, season for me personally, it's pretty well what I expected. I knew it would be hard initially to, you know, to form relationships and to break in. But each week I go to training and to the games, I'd meet someone new, and the relationship would grow a bit more, and, you know, people would acknowledge you. And the club, especially the older guys and who'd been there for years, have been fantastic, really welcoming and open arms. So as far as it's been going, the relationship's been growing. I remember the first night I was sitting there in the corner, I think, "Oh, gee, you know, you feel under-equipped." And I just prayed, "Lord, give me something." And I came back and one of the young guys came and asked me something about that I could actually help with. And I'm like inside dancing around. It's probably the only role that you actually want people to have problems, because you can actually help them, you know. So, it's probably been slower than, say, other clubs. And Stuart's probably got more stories than I have. But that's a good thing, because that means that, you know, hopefully things aren't too bad. But, you know, it's growing all the time. So, yeah, it's been really good.
Fantastic. Because Rich is so loved down there, we didn't want to try and get three chaplains in at the beginning. We thought that was overkill. So we had these guys ready to go virtually from the start of the season, but we said, just hang off on the ladies chaplain and the junior chaplain until we establish with the senior chaplain some credibility. And because Rich did it so well, at the end of the season, we ran a drug and alcohol night for them. And after that, we said, "Would you like a junior and a women's chaplain?" They said, "Oh, absolutely. We so love Rich. We really want them." And see, this is the reason why these guys got these nice jackets on, because when we went down there, they were saying, "Oh, we love the chaplain and have jackets and all that." And poor old Rich, what have you got to show for it? That hat. That's it. So he never got any of those things. But really briefly, because I'm conscious of the time, that first night that we were down there, what impression did you get of the club? Because these guys haven't actually started yet. Just tell us what happened at that interview, what they said to you.
Well, we sat down and they said, "Oh, great. Great to have you on board. But what have you got to offer?" And I'm looking and I'm thinking, I'm glad Josh was asked that question first, because he led the way quite well. But seriously, they welcomed us with open arms, and they really want some people there to help make some change, just to sit with their guys, listen and to help. And apparently the girls are going to be a lot of fun. So I'll have my work cut out for me. But really, it was open arms, and it was all thanks to the work that you did, Rich, you know, getting us started off and so on. So, yeah, it was wonderful. It was cold, it was wet, but everyone was just wrapped, and at the end they said, "Well, come on, we'll deck you out." So I got my pretty pink and Josh has got his pretty yellow, so we're all ready. But sorry, Rich.
And it was so interesting because they said, oh, have we got some problems for you? And if you really want some problems, just have a look at our women's team. So Marie, they've got to really think that Marie's going to come in. And I had to actually say, they're not going to solve all the problems of the world. These guys are just to get alongside. They're not trained counsellors. They're not psychologists. But they will talk to your people. Why did you want to be a chaplain, Josh?
So when Dave first talked about it, I was listening. I thought, oh, it's a good idea, but probably not for me. I'm going into teaching. So I'm doing teaching at university, and my hope through that was always to become like a father figure or someone that like a mentor that the kids without fathers could actually look up to. And I think God really challenged me with that. And he said, well, you know, you want to do that in the future. That's great. But what can you do now? And this opportunity came up again. And one of the encounter nights, I really felt strongly that God was just saying, hey, you know, that's great that you have this passion for the future. But if there's a passion now, why can't you do something with it now? Why do you have to keep putting off in the future? So, and I mean, with footy clubs, there's so many boys in there that don't have fathers and don't have a mentor or someone that they can look up to who has a stable life at the moment. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks, Josh. And just over to here. Now, this guy's only been coming to the church for how long, Stu? About 3 weeks?
Yeah, thereabouts, yeah.
But I've known him for quite a long time, and he is a fantastic guy. And he's come to our church now. And tell us a little bit about why... Now, tell us some of the things that have happened at North Ringwood Footy Club, because some incredible things have happened.
Sure. Well, it's wonderful to be here at this church. It's a great place. Myself, my wife and my child are enjoying it here. So thanks for the very welcoming approach from everybody. Soon after I began, I was contacted by the president of the junior club, actually, and they said, we've got an issue. We want you to come and deal with it if you can. One of the kids there was a disabled child, and he was felt he was being bullied by some of the kids and picking on him because of his disability. So I actually had a chance to go and sit with the family for an hour. I rang them up and spoke to the family for an hour in their house. And he was a family who was struggling, you know, financially, socially, on many levels, with two disabled children. So I just sat down there with them and without any football conversation being taken place, just talked about their lives and the guy's courage of playing football and putting his hand up to actually be out there. He was concerned that when he went swimming in one of the training things, all the kids were laughing at him. And I said, well, it just shows what courage you have as a human being to get out there and do what you're doing, and really build him up. And you could sort of see the guy just growing and growing. It's a 14-year-old kid. And the parents were delighted. And after 2 or 3 weeks, I saw them at the grand final, which they actually won. And they were just overwhelmed by the amount of support that this child received and their family received from their local community club through the sport chaplaincy program.
Just tell us really quickly about the footies up to Cape York.
Well, the junior club had about 117 footballs, which they needed to pass on. So we got in contact with the AFL up in Cape York, and we sent 117 footballs up to Indigenous communities up in the northern parts of Australia. So there's a whole lot of Koori kids up there running around with new footballs, which is wonderful. So we've got a bit of a connection up there now, which is fantastic.
And that was Stu's idea, and I went down one night, and they just love him so much. And then he goes to presentation night, and look what they give him. And this is a caricature of Stu playing for North Ringwood, and Stuart Rook, chaplain. So they really do appreciate their chaplains, and you know, this is a message that we want to get out into the rest of the community, that once we get these chaplains in, they earn such respect that other clubs start going, we want chaplains too. So let's put our hands together for our four chaplains.